You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
As RNIB Chief Executive Simon Antrobus is on leave again this week, for our regular check-in, I am joined by RNIB Chief Strategy and Public Affairs Officer Dan Fisher to find out what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Dan, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hi, Toby. Good to meet you.
So, Dan, we are actually recording this in the Grimaldi Building in London, and it's been the Audio's King conference today, looking at, I suppose, possibly widening the scope of audio description and development of audio description. Just as we sort of come to the end of the conference, tell me a little bit about the day and sort of what sort of feedback and comments and things have been discussed today.
I mean, it's been a great day here in our London office. So I'm sure, as your listeners will know, the RNIB has been, you know, for many years at the kind of vanguard, if you like, of trying to get audio description more widely available in the UK. You know, we're pleased as it stands at the moment, about 33% of content through regular broadcast channels is audio described. You know, fantastic achievement, obviously 66% still to go. So it's very dear to us. It's very core to what we try to do. And today's been really interesting, actually, because working very closely with our broadcast partners, as we do. So in the room today, you know, we've had everyone from Sky, Channel 4, ITV, BBC. What has been emerging in the 25 years since AD has been in the UK is a realisation that, as with so many things in the history of blindness, of course, what's good for blind and partially sighted people can actually be really good for everyone. And there's been lots of anecdotal evidence building that sighted audiences, for example, particular segments within the sighted audience have been using AD. So, you know, with that knowledge, what we wanted to do was commission a bit more of a formal piece of work to try and understand that and take it from kind of anecdote into some initial research. So today, long story short, has been about the researchers from Ipsos, so a professional research company, playing the findings back to us and also to our broadcast industry partners with some very interesting conclusions, I might say, Toby.
And where do we see this sort of research and the report going? How is it going to maybe increase the, I suppose, level and potential of audio description?
Indeed, yeah. Well, I mean, so the really interesting takeaways, certainly for me today, were, and I'm not a statistician, but I'm informed by the researchers, there is an unusually high proportion of sighted audiences, according to the research, who say that they would benefit from audio description. But critically, what a sighted audience requires, or say they require from audio description, is identical to the blind and partially sighted audience. Because you always worry, don't you, that, you know, something that is so important and so dear to the blind and partially sighted community, if that is made more widestream, does it dilute or, you know, take away from the richness of the service? But, you know, some positive indications, and that's all they are, but if this audience was to go wider, it would be on the same basis. So the real exam question that we're exploring today, and frankly what needs to be taken away and a lot more work done on, is there a kind of virtuous circle, if you like, that by reaching more people, the service attracts the attention of, you know, the execs and the broadcasters, attracts the budget, attracts the investment that, you know, we and our community know is so desperately needed, such that actually the availability and the quality for blind and partially sighted people increases as a result. And we find these same questions, as you will know, all over the place in accessibility. And, you know, if you look at some of the biggest developments in technology, innovation across the generations, blind people have been at the core of all of those, haven't they? You know, audiobooks, the record player even, the Amazon Alexa. So, you know, big exam question, is AD one of those new frontiers where that could happen again?
Well, let's hope so too. And thinking about access as well, today sees the launch of the next Gruffalo book, I think the first one in 20 years. And the wonderful thing about today is that the book is going to be launched, but also there is a Braille and print book that's available. So blind and partially sighted children and parents can read the book and enjoy it too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and a really big day for celebrations with our retail and reading services, really at the forefront of this. So yeah, as you say, Toby, 20 years since the Gruffalo story last came out. our customers aren't usually able to buy a brailled version with images on the same day as a publisher launch. So, you know, with the knowledge that this book was coming out, we contacted the publishers, asked if we could get hold of the text so we could work with them to rectify that, really, to release the Braille version to buy on the same day as the book launched worldwide. So the book is Gruffalo Granny. Long-term fans of Julia Donaldson's text can return to the deep, dark wood, say hello to familiar faces, but meet a new character, Gruffalo Granny. The publishers immediately said yes, which was brilliant. So, cut a long story short, our transcription production facilities in Gateshead, our retail teams, our reading service, worked all in collaboration with the publishers to produce this book. It's in uncontracted grade one and contracted grade two Braille. And to the point you made, Toby, you know, why do we do this? Because, you know, we can't do this with every book, obviously. You know, it's a very involved, quite expensive process. But why particularly for this one? So, I mean, shared reading books are so important. So we take the book itself. We add in clear interleave sheets between the Braille pages, which allows the printed text and images to be seen underneath so that the book can literally be enjoyed by everyone. You know, if a parent with sight loss who can read Braille has a sighted child, then both can read it along together. A parent can make the funny noises, you know, the shared experience, and vice versa, of course, in every other combination. So it's a brilliant thing, and we hope, you know, with the particular interest in this book, it will make a bit of a splash about how everybody should be able to read equally.
Exactly. And you will find more about the Audio is King report, as well as details of how to get your hands on Gruffalo's Granny and the Braille and print version, as well as lots of information about living with sight loss on the RNIB website. That's rnib.org.uk. And you can always call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or use your smart device to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, Dan, thank you very much indeed for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Toby.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.